Good morning. The song was about how fortunate we are that we found God, or God found us. And this is the theme of today's Smriti. It's from 1987. And it seems that there's been a big gathering again in Madhuban. And so Baba's talking to a very large number in Om Shanti Bhavan for the 21st of January. And it reminded me of the question that somebody had asked Daddy a few years ago. It was when she had gone to Moringan for the opening of the retreat center there. And the question was, how can we create fortune? Because Baba was talking a lot about fortune. And at that time, the answer that Daddy gave was unexpected for me. She said, through your dharana, through your practical inculcation. Because normally, until then, I'd always associated with creating fortune in terms of service. I belong to Baba, and the more souls that come and belong to Baba, that service is going to create great fortune. And today's Smriti reminded me of Daddy's different answer, because this is actually what Baba has said. So interesting that I would have heard this Smriti a long time ago, 87, but it's today that I'm connecting it with what Baba has said, Daddy has said, and seeing how she would take from Baba's Smriti in a very different way to myself. I don't know about others, but certainly myself. Because today Baba's mentioned how all you have to do is to know Baba with your heart, and having known Baba with your heart, belong to Baba, and if even once you've said the word Baba with your heart, then that has opened up the door of all treasures. I remembered that Baba's always said that Baba is the key, but I began to think about how once you've taken all the treasures from Baba, or even however many treasures you've taken from Baba, that actually is what determines the quality of your behavior. And so it's not that I only have fantastic experiences in yoga, but the actual criteria or the proof that I have taken from Baba is that it's going to be visible in my life. Think about peace, the treasures we take from Baba, the ocean of peace. And so if I've experienced beautiful peace in yoga, then surely the impact of that peace is not only during my time sitting alone with Baba, or even sitting in a gathering with Baba, but my experience of peace continues and should be visible through the rest of the day and whatever else it is I'm involved with. Every one of the things that we take from Baba. If I've taken love from Baba, then again, I can say I've had this amazing experience of God's love, but how come it's not visible in my life? It should be visible in my behavior, in my interaction with others, and everything that's going on. And so when Baba's saying, Baba is the key for you to take all treasures, then if I am taking all the treasures, then Baba's put it in a very lovely way, that because the Baba is unlimited, the treasures are unlimited, and so whether it's those sitting in front of me, or whether it's every child in each corner of the world, every child has a right, but also the last ones who've come, they have an equal right, but also the ones who are yet to come. Baba remembered the ones who are yet to come. And after 87, there's been even more expansion. So Baba was remembering absolutely everyone of the Brahmin family and saying, there's enough unlimited treasure for everyone to claim their full right. Baba's not imposing any limits. And Baba's mentioned two qualities that actually are the factor that determine the whole story of number-wise. Baba's saying courage and effort. And again, the thought that I can have courage, but if I'm not willing to make the effort to prepare myself, then I'm not going to get anything. I have the courage, I can say, yes, I'm going to climb the Himalayas, but if I don't prepare, my courage will be useless. I can have courage, and if I don't prepare, I'm very foolish. So the courage is there, but then I also need to make the effort. And so courage and effort both together. And yes, I can take as much as I want from Baba's treasures. Baba's putting no limit on it. But then the dharana, it has to be visible. And if I haven't transformed my sanskars through what I've taken from Baba, then it means that it's been a very superficial experience and it hasn't actually reached my sanskars. Baba's talked about being the master of the self today and the three faculties of the soul, so I won't go into that detail. But definitely the whole subject of fortune is the fact that there's transformation in my life. And so my dharana is proof of my fortune, how much I've taken from Baba. So that was one particular thing that struck me from today's Smriti. The other thing that I want to mention is something that came up a few days ago. And Baba spoke about, Baba used a Sindhi expression, sadapant. And we usually translate it as calling distance. And so it means that if I didn't have the microphone and I called you out and you're here in front of me, you'll probably hear it. But if you're at the back of the room, you won't hear it. And so it means, it was translated in Hindi as close, which is correct. But it's a very beautiful expression that you call and the other one's able to hear. And so just imagine, I'm here and Paramdham is calling distance. Baba can hear me. And Satyug is calling distance. And Baba was talking more about Satyug because he talked about the trees of Satyug. And so can I see the trees of Satyug in front of me? And when will I be able to be at calling distance? Baba calls and I can hear Baba and Baba can hear me. It's referring to the Sattu Pradhan stage. We all started in Kali Yuga, and whether the sanskars were very gross and visible or whether they were quiet and incognito inside the soul, but everybody started at the same point of being Tamo Pradhan. If Brahma Baba was there, Dada Lake Raj, it means everyone, number one and all the way. And so from that stage of Tamo Pradhan, I very quickly realized that belonging to Baba means change, transformation, and I started to focus on the gross things. The timetable that Baba's given us, the srimat, the food, celibacy, all those things that Baba's given us are to make us drop the things of Tamo Pradhan and to move further along. And Baba's always surprised that we keep forgetting where we're going, that we get distracted by things here and there. And again, it happens to all of us. But just think about it, you're on a journey and you get distracted. If you're the driver, it's going to be a big problem for you and everybody else. So it is a journey, and I'm going now. So where am I? Baba's asking me, am I close to my Sattu Pradhan stage? So let me understand what that means. Raju Pradhan, and if sometimes I say, well, you know, it's my habit, my old sanskars, I've always been like this, what can I do about it? And probably that expression comes if I've tried changing something within myself and it's not happening. And I see that it's not happening, then I just give up. And I say, well, that's how I am, take it or leave it. And there are some souls, very good souls, but they'll use this expression, well, that's how I am. Now, do what you want, but I'm not going to change. But that is actually still the Rajapradhan stage where old sanskars are still manifesting. So it's not to make anyone feel hopeless about it, but Baba says, I'm showing you the mirror of Gyan. And if I look into the mirror and I see clearly where I'm at, then at least I know within the short space of time that remains, there's a lot to be done. And for Baba, at that time, yes, at the end of the 60s, Baba's Muralis, Baba of course was very close to his Satapradhan stage. So when Baba's talking about Sadapanth just ahead, I see the trees, it's calling distance. This was Baba sharing his own level of effort and where he was in his journey. And just a few months later, Baba became Karmati, became Avyakt. I'm also thinking about how Didi Manmohini, she herself in her last year, again and again it was, it's time to go home, it's time to go home. She was talking about her own experience and where she was at. And after 83, we've had many decades, but she was talking about where she was at. And then you saw Dadi Prakashmani, and Dadi Prakashmani saying, what about the Karmatit stage? We would normally go and talk and chat about service, but at that point, the last year, or even a couple of years before, she would say, don't talk to me about service, ask me what are your plans to become Karmatit. And so again, something that she was moving towards. And Dadi Janki, again we heard her, she'd say, I'm ready, Baba can call me anytime. So again, her stage. So today we're hearing these Muralis, and especially this one about calling distance. And so, if I'm still Rajapradhan, when am I going to be able to see the trees? And so, the mirror is telling me that if old sanskars are still lurking, and are not just there inside, but they're actually being expressed in words and actions, it's still half the cycle around that I have to travel. And maybe my deep experiences at this moment are the impetus for me to really make that effort for a high jump, so that whatever I haven't done since I came to Baba, even if it's a long time, new ones lose hope because they think we don't have enough time. But old ones lose hope if they've tried and they haven't succeeded. But I have to keep Baba's vision in front of me. That's how I can keep my hope and faith alive. Baba's speaking to me and Baba's telling me, yes, you can become Satapradhan. And so let me go beyond the reactions that are still of the Rajapradhan stage. Sattu, Ram and Sita, the bow and arrow, the symbol of that. And now it's no more external reactions that are happening, but there's things going on inside. And so maybe nothing even in words, and definitely nothing in terms of action and karma. In the Sakar Muralis, Baba always said, if something comes in your mind, it's not a karmic burden. Baba doesn't say that anymore. In the Avyakt Muralis, right from the moment that Baba became Avyakt, Baba started talking about the impact of the mind. and not just in terms of my yoga. Of course, if my mind's been roaming around through the day, here and there, what's the quality of my yoga when I sit down? But Baba started talking about how thoughts also are creating karma. And so Rama, and people worship him to a huge extent, only number two to Krishna, never mind others, but Krishna, number one, image of attraction for people in Bharat, and then number two, it's Rama. And Rama's still fighting, and so I think the subtle things that Rama is fighting with are familiarity, irritation, and the attachment that doesn't know that it's attached, and in the sense that there's a subtle, or maybe not so subtle, dependency on others, and a sense that I, on my own, am not able to do things that I like to do, but I need someone's support, someone's help. And service is always cooperation. But it's very interesting, I remember a long time ago being in Pune with Daddy, and there were about five Kumaris with Daddy at the Pune Center. This would have been maybe the early 70s. And Daddy made a program because it was a time for service expansion in Maharashtra. Maharashtra is the biggest state in India, it's big. And Pune is part of Maharashtra, one of the main places in Maharashtra. And there were invitations from different places where there were Gita Pathshalas. They didn't yet have centers. And so Daddy started to send this one here, that one there, that one there. And there were two Kumaris, me and another sister, Sundari Ben, much more senior than me. But the two of us were then left with Daddy. And Sundari Ben said to Daddy, "Daddy, there's so much to be done. And it's only just the two of us who are here with you now." And Daddy said, "You will see Baba's magic. When it's Baba's task, Baba's never going to neglect you. Baba's always going to make sure that there's help available for his task." And it was very interesting because then mothers started to come and help. And usually in India nowadays it's become part of the system that mothers do come and help. But in those early days they didn't. Daddy was the one who introduced that idea of Indra Ben, for example, coming and reading the Murali. And so normally mothers wouldn't be coming and reading the Murali in class, but Daddy's vision of service and people always very broad. And so she then was encouraging the mothers to come and help. And so my point that whatever is the situation, I can't rely on a human being. I can't depend on a human being. And if I am depending, then it means that there's some sort of connection of attachment there. Daddy traveling alone all those years. You know, when she went to see the people after the earthquake in Mexico from the US, she traveled alone to Mexico. She doesn't speak Spanish. She only understood English, wasn't speaking it. So absolutely no dependency at all. And so all the subtle things of the vices, am I still battling with all of those things? And if I am, ego, big time. And so do I still want to control? And if things aren't going the way I want, it's changing my stage. That whole worry of seeing how far or how close I am to Satyug was about this. Can I see what are my sanskaras and what is it that's manifesting? And so Baba talking about all these aspects in that particular Murali, I think 2-3 days ago. And so Baba's Muralis are a mirror, the Sakar Muralis as well as the Avyakt Muralis. And so just wanted to mention that stage of Sattu, Sattu Pradhan. Well, we've seen images of Sattu Pradhan, the stability, the unshakability, Dadi Prakashmani, when they got the news that the Russian president was coming and we were supposed to be at Red Fort and then we couldn't. You've heard that story many times. But that is determination and that is stability. Just have yoga and all obstacles will be removed and it'll be fine. And literally, early morning yoga and the message coming that Indira Gandhi has said that yes, we can keep the Red Fort for our program. So, examples like this always. But also, Dadi Janki, the stability of that soul, the determination of that soul, whether it was big things, yes, I have to create a model of Madhuban, and she did. But also little things. She'd say, I want to have a big program. And we'd argue with her. And we'd say, Daddy, nobody wants to do big programs anymore. And she'd say, no, Baba's message has to reach out. And she would be absolutely stable. Or sometimes, I also remember, at that moment, she wouldn't reply. A week later, she'd come back with the same idea. And so she wasn't shaken by anybody else's opinion. And yet she was also very interested in consulting us. Not that she was stuck in any way. But once she had decided that something needed to happen, absolutely stable. And so, of course, when people said things, people did things, again, you saw the smile, you saw the stability. And so the Sattu Pradhan stage, think about Lakshmi, think about Narayan, think about not just how they look, forget about the jewels and all the extra things, but their face. Narayan's face, of course, is Brahma Baba's face. And Mama herself was talking to the trance messenger when that image of Lakshmi Narayan was first created, because she was in Bombay for extended time because of her health. And so Shilendra Dadi, the trance messenger, she would go to Baba, see whatever she'd seen, come back, and she would tell Mama and the artist. And so minute details of that image, Lakshmi Narayan, were being checked and then changed according to what Dadi had seen in trance. So just look at those faces again, and you know how often Baba in the Sakar Murali says, just keep looking at them, just keep looking at them. And so what do their faces indicate? That purity, that love, that strength, the power, the cheerfulness. Try it, keep looking at their faces and see what happens. And so, the Sattu Pradhan stage, how close or how far am I away from it? And so this is why Baba said the other day in the Murali, you know, it was a blessing. It's time for that collective yoga in which we really have that determination and we throw into the fire whatever are the little sesame seeds or all the other bits of rice or whatever it is that we are holding on to, but to be able to put it into the fire at this moment, because it really feels as if it's the last part of the last period. And then the last thing that I want to talk about, and it was a question that came up in the Hindi Murali class. What's the difference between duty and responsibility? The example that Baba always gives is the difference between, say, a nurse and a mother. A nurse will do her duty, and then when it's time to finish, she'll leave. But a mother can't say, well, I've done my duty, and now whether the child is okay or not okay, I have to go. It's day and night. And so responsibility is a big, big term. And the responsibility that Baba's talking about is the responsibility of world transformation. Now, that is big. But Baba's saying that each one of you is responsible. And the way to be able to make that happen is through your personal transformation. Then it's not a big burden, but it is a very powerful reminder that drama is waiting for Baba's children to come to that state of perfection before things change on an external level in a big way. They're beginning, and we see all those signs, but yet still, the last bits, whether it's little sesame seeds or whatever it is that I'm still carrying in the soul, those defects, those weaknesses, to put it into the fire right now. And so I think that when I take responsibility in Baba's task, then whatever is going on in Baba's home is my responsibility. Duty, I'll say, well, that's somebody else's duty. I'm not interested. Or that's not my duty, and I'll turn my back and go away. But if it's responsibility, I can't turn my back on anything. Everything and everything is my responsibility. You know, when Baba uses this image of all relationships with God and Baba being the child, just think about that for a moment and the responsibility that Baba's putting on us so that I can change. It's not that Baba needs me for anything. It's my fortune. It's my opportunity. But because Baba wants me to attain the highest fortune, Baba's telling me, well, try this as a method for transformation. And so in all the other relationships, I'm taking from Baba. Baba's my mother. I'm taking my father. I'm taking teacher. I'm taking guru. I'm taking... So the one relationship in which I'm now beginning to realize that I have to do something for Baba, I have to give Baba the return, is when I come to this very subtle awareness, and it is a very, very subtle awareness. Even lover and beloved is not such a subtle thing, but the child, extremely subtle. Because God is almighty. What does God want from me? How can God be my child? But literally, it's this transformation in consciousness in which now I am responsible for Baba, which means Baba's task. Can I see it in that way in which I begin to start giving to Baba? And even in that, of course, whatever I have, it's come from Baba. But yet that subtle transformation in which now I'm feeling responsible, and I know that Baba's depending on me. Baba will find somebody else if I'm not ready for that. It's okay. But my own consciousness changing and accepting that responsibility means huge fortune for me. Duty, I'm here for 2 hours, 4 hours, 3 hours, whatever it is. I've done my bit and I can forget it. But responsibility, you can't forget. It's what keeps the parents awake through the night, remembering that the child needs them. And so Baba's saying, yes, even if it disturbs your sleep, sit in yoga. Have that awareness that this is that final period in which now whatever I can do, let me do it now, for myself, for my fortune, my future. Many, many examples of how duty and responsibility, even in the Lokic world, are so different. So somebody feeling responsible, and they won't leave anything halfway. They will complete whatever it is that needs to happen. But duty? No, I'm looking at the clock and I'm waiting for the clock to strike, and then I finish and enough, I've done my bit and I'm gone. And so within, somebody asked the question, many people ask, but again, somebody asked the question, how come in Baba's house, Brahma Kumari's place, wherever I've been, I've seen that people are ready to serve with a smile. And it's because of this, because we're not doing a job. We're doing something for Baba. And you don't just cut off at a time, but whatever is the need, however it is, and then you don't say, well, that's not my job, it's somebody else's job. No, it's mine. And so can I give a finger of cooperation in whatever it is? So that relationship with God as my child and taking full responsibility is actually a way that Baba's teaching us to keep Baba in our consciousness all the time. Of course, duty is, and responsibility is one aspect, but the other is yoga. Literally, to keep my focus on just Baba.